Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem. Even though it is freezing outside and snowing in Fairlawn, it is warm inside here, and we are learning, privileged to learn Sefer, our Parshas Yisro this morning, Matan Torah, the most seminal moment in all of Jewish history. Most important moment, Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, Shavuos, we have Yisro and the relationship that he had with his son-in-law, Moshe. And let's begin in the first half. We'll split it up. Yisro, the stories of Yisro and that narrative, and then we'll go to Matan Torah.
Are you catching? Okay.
When Yisro gives advice to Moshe, he tells him, Nahol Tibol, listen, I see what's going on here. It's too much what you're dealing with day in, day out. Nahol Tibol, you're going to like waste away, you know, dealing with the people 24/7. He didn't have Ofer Shabbos either. Right? So he tells him, listen, I think you should make this system where not every answer or question goes to you, and they're going to go to other people, and you're going to hire Sare Alafim, Sare Meos, etc. And he says to him, these are the type of people that you need. You're going to look at the whole nation, and you're going to choose people that are Anshei Chayil Yirei Elokim, that are men of valor that fear Hashem. Anche emes, sone batza. People that are truthful and honest and hate. Right, we don't use that word so often. H-A-T-E, they hate bribes. Vesam taleim sare alafim, sare meo, sare chamishim, visare asaros. This judicial system, the way it is set up back then, is something that most democratic societies have today. They have appellates and they have you have the local judges, and you go to the more senior. Then you go to the state, and then you go to the federal. Same thing. Then you go to the Supreme Court, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu Bachya, we'll see two Rabbeinu Bachyas today, makes an amazing point that David Wasserloff, who davens here, lives on Saddle River Road, shared with me this morning, which is really, really powerful. I just inserted it in because it's an amazing, amazing Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya makes the following, I would say, ha'ara. It's not even like a vort. But he says, if you look throughout the entire Torah, what is the appellation or the way that we describe our great leaders in Klal Yisrael? I tried it yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If you want my signature, just... Okay. So the... Rabbeinu Bachya says the following. If you look at Noach, how is Noach described? Ish Shadik Tamim Haya. Avraham, he was Tamim. Yaakov, he was Tam. Moshe, Anav Ma'od. When it comes to every person, our great leaders, Bor E Kama Koach V'Godom Ma'alas Amidos. More important than their academic or intellectual prowess, the Torah hones in on their midos, their character, how they interacted with people. It doesn't matter how smart or God-given talents you have. It's how you behave and interact with individuals. V'chol zeh lahoros, kein ikar ha-chachma ela yosher ha-midos. The chachma is not the ikar, but it is our yashrus, our honesty, our word, the way that we behave and interact with other people. Geshem she'ena ilan ikar, ela ha'pri. The ilan is the tree. We don't care about the tree. It's the fruit that it produces, which is our midos. That's why Chazal say, seichel tov l'cholo sehem, not l'chol lom dehem, not the ones that learn it, the ones that behave and follow in the Torah itself. It was an amazing and very, very important way to think about how we interact. And I've just seen this so much over the past 2 years as people are retreating into their corners and there's less and less social interactions with people. We have become more abrasive as individuals. We become more polarized in our opinions and we have less time and perspective for others. Rabbeinu Bachya is reminding us that's not the Derech HaTorah. The Derech HaTorah is to interact appropriately. Sometimes that means mavir midosav, suck it up, take it in. Don't react, don't scream back, and just listen. And that is that's Noach, Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe, all of our greats, even Yehoshua. I just started Nachyomi this morning. Men and women can learn Nachyomi. It's amazing. I learned it with Sarah this morning. Moshe is an Eved Hashem, and Yehoshua is a Masharis Moshe. Right? Those speak to their character, not to their academic and intellectual knowledge. Yes.
Nandi. If you just do it learning in a vacuum, it doesn't mean too much. You have to take that learning and interact and use it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking with actually Corey, looking at Pirkei Avos, and I suggested for the people that sit to learn that really are up here, mm-hmm. they should sit and learn all day. And the people that are not able to do that, spend the half a day learning.
Yeah.
And then go out and take whatever you learn and implement it and use it during the day. And that way you reinforce what you learn and you've done the character part, the midos part, and you've done the learning part.
Mendy's making the point that when it comes to people that are learning Torah, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama that talks about what's the ikar. Is it lilmod or lasos? Right? So lilmod, almenas lasos, is what we're saying is the prime. Got to learn, but you have to make it part of who you are. And that's more important. And how are you remembered? By that second aspect, not by the first. Okay. We'll continue on this theme. Father-in-laws and son-in-laws, the relationship between in-laws, parents, and the children. There are two times in the Torah where we see this interaction play itself out. Anyone know the first time in the Torah where we see father-in-law interact with a son-in-law? It's a good question.
Lavan.
Who said it?
Lavan.
Lavan, Danny, you are two parshios off. Lavan's a great one. It's not the first one, though. Where's the first one? It's like two psukim. It could be overlooked easily. It is by Sidon. With Lot. Lot's told, quickly pack up your stuff, get out of here. And, he has these three guests. All the people come to the house. And he tells his son-in-laws, Chosnav loche benosav, come with me, get out of here. Sodom is being destroyed. He gives them advice. Come with me. Don't stay here. I'm going to save your life. What is their reaction? They laugh at him. Vayikim mitzachek be'enei Chosnav. They say, "Hey, old man, what are you doing? You don't know what you're talking about. You're ridiculous." And they mock him for this. And in that story, the rest is history. That's the first time we see advice being given from father-in-law to a son-in-law. And the reaction is, right, not so good. Here, and again, the whole Lavan and Yaakov story needs to be analyzed on its own. Here we see again that we see a father-in-law looking at a son-in-law's action and saying, "Listen, you're not doing it the right way. You're not doing it the right way." How does Moshe react? When a father-in-law criticizes his son-in-law, you could take it in one of two ways, right? You could take it like low son-in-laws and you can laugh at and mock that advice. Or you could say, there might be some truth to what my father-in-law is saying to me. Let me listen, take it in, and let me see how I need to, he ultimately has it in for me in a good way. And that's what Moshe did. Moshe is modeling what it means to be a good son-in-law, right? This, the dynamic, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, father-in-laws and son-in-laws, is not simple from the beginning of time. It's not simple. We see that already from Lot. But it's something that if there's good advice that's out there, and for the sake of the relationship, Rus and Naomi, great. That's a great one. It's a great relationship also, great positive one. Yes?
Is Moshe aware that Yisro's position was at Paro at the time that he's giving him this advice?
Presumably, he knew that Paro was one of his advisors,
so
yes.
It goes beyond the son of father, especially Yisro.
It's world leader to world leader.
Yes, Yisro left Paro also because whatever reasons he had, but he left him. So the bottom line is, he also had an understanding of how to run things. It's the greatest power in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we think it goes beyond just the bottom, it goes beyond the knowledge that Israel had.
100%. Right. You can understand it that way, and then it makes more sense why you listen. But if you just look at it, pashtos of the psukim, what we can learn for our own lives, we're not going to be, most of us are not going to be the world leaders, and we're not going to have father-in-laws that are the world leaders. But in the basic interactions between, you know, in family dynamics, it's right important to keep this in mind. I mentioned what?
It depends on how it's presented.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can assume that Israel brought Moshe's family.
Yeah.
And now he sees Moshe doesn't have time for that.
Correct.
So it's very easy to say Moshe had an idea and have more time to spend with your family.
So Yossi said, what Yisro was saying, I have more time, I have an idea for you to spend more time with your family. That could be understood in one of, like, you don't think, like, I want to spend more time with the family? How dare you? You can only, you know, and how this could play itself out. What I once quoted from Rebbetzin Yamima Mizrahi, I saw this in one of her articles, that the word mishpacha and simcha have the same letters, except for one. The pay, because the pay represents the peh. Right? You want to have simcha in your mishpacha. You have to know when to open your mouth and when to leave your mouth and when not to talk. And peh sasum, peh pasua, when to open your mouth and when to close your mouth, when to talk and when not to. And that is the lesson over here. Yisro, the Torah says, it's the third idea on Yisro. Vayomer Yisro. Yisro hears on experiences and hears everything that happened. And he says, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem, Miyad Paro, Miyad Mitzrayim. Baruch Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem, for saving the Jewish people from the hands of Paro and from the hands of the Egyptians. The Gemara tells us, right, words that we say so easily, flippantly, every single day. Yisro was the first person in history to say the words, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Sadi Dalan Omim Beis, Tana, Mishum Rabbi Papias, Genai Hu LeMoshe V'Shishim Ribur. It is a disgrace to Moshe and the 600,000 people that came along with him. Shelo Amru Baruch Hashem, Ad Sheba Yisro V'Amr Baruch Hashem. It's a disgrace to Moshe and all of the people that survived Egypt and were redeemed from Mitzrayim, because they never said Baruch Hashem, and Yisro did. And we needed to learn this from Yisro, and they didn't say it.
What about Yosef? Yosef also, in some way, was correct with saying Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, I don't think he used that language.
He didn't use that language.
Baruch Hashem, yeah. So, however, the Maharsha does say that others, not Yosef, the Maharsha on the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, Hare Matzinu b'kamek suvim hakodmin. Shnemar Baruch Hashem. By Noach it says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem. Eliezer Eved Avram said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avram. So how are you saying this is Gennai if we already had previous individuals in the Torah, Noach and Eliezer, interestingly, both like not necessarily part of Am Yisrael, also, who also recited Baruch Hashem. Why are we, you know, picking on the Klai Yisrael right now when it already was said? So the Maharsha says here that this was something different. When it came to the other two situations, the Baruch Hashem there were previously miracles were performed on an individual's behalf. So even Yosef, it was for me. Even Noach and Eliezer, it was a thank Hashem for something that happened to one person. Baruch Hashem, individual level. The Marsha says here, what is Yisro teaching us? It's a nes derabim. It's hard when something happens for the whole klal, right? How does an individual react? It happened to everybody. So Yisro is teaching us when a miracle happens to everybody, that is still a moment to say Baruch Hashem. That's the Maharsha's answer.
Rabbi, Rav
Druk, yes.
What about Az Yashir?
Oh, so other Mefarshim are bothered by that too. Like, what isn't Az Yashir good enough? Like, okay, they didn't use
the word Baruch Hashem.
They didn't use Baruch Hashem, but they said better words. Right, 100%. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe the second answer Rav Druk is going to address that. Rav Druk writes here, Rav Shlomo Meir Druk, he writes in that what Yisro is teaching us, and maybe it's less of a ganai, but more of something that Yisro can model for us, is that Yisro is thankful for something that didn't happen to him. Whereas these other scenarios, and even Az Yashir, we experienced it, therefore we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that we were actually saved from. Yisro is thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that happened to somebody else. That's a different model of being grateful. That's a different model of being thankful and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something very, very different that we learn here from Yisro. Is it a ganai? Maybe the ganai is that people weren't thankful for that my friend was saved, or my neighbor was saved, or my great uncle twice removed. But Yisro is teaching us that even when someone else goes through a tzara and then there's a salvation, it's incumbent upon each one of us to say Baruch Hashem too. Yisro was the first one that modeled that, the Pesach Seder. We were saved. That's for us. It's personal. But there's another element here to thank and praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu for miracles that happen to others as well. It goes back to the father-in-law, son-in-law situation. Is he so happy that his father, son-in-law was saved? Being cynical. No, yeah. Right. Yeah, 100%. He can go back. He doesn't have to babysit as much anymore. By the way, that's another important lesson here for those grandparents that are very involved with their grandchildren. Yisro was maybe the first one that modeled that also. He really took care of his grandchildren for a bunch of years. It's not clear when Yisro came back on the scene, Achar Shiluchaha, with Tzipora and his two grandsons. Either it was right after Mechamas HaMalek or right after Matan Torah. It's Machlokas in the Gemara, Machlokas amongst the Mefarshim over here, exactly when that happens.
Rabbi.
One second, Nathan. What? Before Moshe sent his family back to Yisro before he went to Mitzrayim. Yisro said, don't bring them. It's not safe. He was right. Maybe he was right.
Because the Moshe is not traveling inside that sleeping with his family.
What? Yes. And then he said, don't bring, it's not safe here. Don't bring them back. Right. I mean, was that right? Yeah, Aaron. Don't bring more people into this dangerous place. Yeah, Nathan, you had a question?
Moshe married a non-Jewish woman?
Did Moshe marry a non-Jewish woman? It was before Matan Torah. It was before Matan Torah. Some say she did convert. How did she convert? It's a fair question. Before Matan Torah, the conversion rules were a little bit different than they were back then. The truth is, we learn out conversion from Matan Torah. We learn out there's Mila, Tvila, and Kabbalah Samitzvos. There are three things that need to be done. For a male, it needs to be a Bris Mila, Tvila, immersion in the mikvah, and Kabbalah Samitzvos. So Bris Mila was done in Parshas Bo before the Korban. And there's a Korban. So the Korban might be the Korban Pesach, according to some, or the Korban might be the Korbanos that were brought in Parshas Mishpatim at the end of Matan Torah. Tvila was done in Chib Susim Losam. Chazal say that they went to the mikvah. Where was the mikvah in the Midbar? I don't know. But Chazal have a Masor that they went to the mikvah. And Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot was Nasev and Ishma. It's Kabbalah Sol Mitzvot. What? Miriam as well. Could be. Could be. Natural rainwater. Okay. It's a good question. Yeah, but yeah.
What was Moses' mindset for coming out of the slain of the Aaron?
Yeah, what's the mindset with the Erev Rav? I need to, Yossi asked that question 2 weeks ago. We still need to do some homework on that. Yeah. Okay. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Famous song made into a pasuk. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. The Jewish people encamped Neged Ahar. So Rashi tells us, Kish Achad Belevichad. Not Vayachanu. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Rav Aaron of Karlin says the following. Neged Ahar. Not Itzad Ahar, Tachtis Ahar, which comes up later. Neged. Anytime a Jew is striving for Kedusha, there will always be a Har Negdo. Neged doesn't only mean next to, it means against, right? Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Whenever the Jewish people want to receive the Torah and grow through Torah, there will always be a barrier there, like a mountain, Kenegdo, preventing us from growth. And we need to push through. Rabbi Nachman, this is in Rabbi Judah Michelle Sefer, Baderech, which is really, really beautiful. He writes, he's coming to Shomrei Torah on March 8th. Dash l'kol echad, ein lo menios rakafi kocho, kvi ma sheyucha laseis v'lamod b'hem yirtza. Know that each person's obstacles that one has in their lives are only commensurate with one's abilities. According to what he's able to handle, Hashem gives him as a kenegdo. And in truth, there are no obstacles whatsoever, because God, even in the obstacles themselves, Hashem enclosed himself. So the obstacle itself is part of the avodas Hashem. Hashem gives us that obstacle to help us grow. So many people say how those challenges and sorrows that people go through, and we shouldn't have them ever, have helped them become greater. The Tusha Rebbe then further explains. The Tusha Rebbe passed away a few years ago. He started, survived the Holocaust. I moved to Montreal and started a huge chassidus in Montreal. My grandfather, should live and be well, learned with him in DP camps. He was his Rebbe. So the Tusha Rebbe says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamir. Shivisi Hashem. If you want to bask in Hashem, in godliness, get close to him, Lenegdi Tamir, there's always going to be something there that's going to push you away from Hashem, the Yetzirah. Something's going to be there to push you away. That is Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Truth in everything that we do in our lives. Any good thing that we start, there's always going to be somebody or something that's going to prevent us along the way. Yes. Tamid Torah. So there is Lenegdi Tamid. So this is a chassidus shavur. Let's write. Lenegdi means next to. Shivishi Hashem, lenegdi tamid. Hashem, I bask in Hashem, he's next to me always. So Talmud Torah keneged kulam, right? You can argue, maybe I'll add, in honor of Yossi, we'll add to this chassidus shavur. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. When you're engaged in Talmud Torah, you're like going against the whole world, right? It's countercultural. You're fighting against so many things. So maybe that's the same. That's the same idea over here. Okay, great. On to another. Yeah.
Nathan, what is the meaning? Yes, yes. Well, a man's wife is known as Ezra Kenegdi.
Nathan, I can't really hear you so well.
1 second. Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Yeah. Go
a
ahead.
Person's wife, a man's wife is supposed to be known as Ezer Kenegdo?
Yes. Oh, a wife is Ezer Kenegdo. That is Kenegdo. A wife pushes us. Rashi says one thing. Rashi says, Im Zochad, she's an Ezer, And if she's not Zocher, she's a Kenegdo. Right? But truth is, I think the Nitziv writes, no, helping is to be Kenegdo. A spouse pushes us to grow. You know, is, you know, teaches us that not everything that we don't know everything. We're not always, you know, perfect out of the womb, and we need to further perfect our midos. The next vort, I'm going to give six today, so I'm not going to be here next week. Next thought, number five for today, comes from the Boston Rebbe. Boston Rebbe, I read his biography, came out this past summer. I read his biography in the summer, and I saved this for Parshas Yisro. Someone is recounting a story. I don't think it says what the person's name is. He's saying the Rebbe's profound influence on him. He's saying how he moved to Har Nof. The Rebbe initially spent 6 months at Har Nof and 6 months in Boston. And eventually he moved full-time to Eretz Yisrael. My cousin he wasn't a Boston Rechassid growing up, but he davened, he lives in Har Nof, lives a block away from the Boston Yeshibol, and davened there for most of his life. Still davens there. So this person recounting a story says when he was 12 years old, he was once, used to help the Rebbe set up for Shalosh Shudas in Har Nof. And the Rebbe turns to him and tells him a vort. And he said, many years later, I never forgot this idea. Never forgot in my whole life. Before Matan Torah, Hashem tells Moshe, Hagbel Esahar Hazeh, Mikidashta. Make boundaries around this mountain and sanctify it. Meaning, people couldn't go onto the mountain. The Rebbe said that the Gvulim, the borders of a Hebrew letter, are the letters that preceded and followed in the Aleph base. For example, the Gvulim of a letter Ches is a Tes and a Zayin, the letter that comes after it and the letter that comes before it. Okay? Hagbel es hahar hazeh. Make a Gvul around this mountain. What is the Gvul of Har, of mountain? Hey is a Dalet and a Vav. That's the Gvul, the borders of a Hey. A Resh is a Kuf and a Shin. What do those four letters say? What's the gvul, the border of a mountain? Kuf Shin Dalet Vav, which spell out Kadosh, holiness, Kedusha, sanctification. This teaches that when something is holy, its boundaries, that which is on its perimeter, become holy as well. When I repeated this vort, the Rebbe smiled and patted my cheek affectionately, this man says. He says, you appreciate the vort because you understand what it means to attach yourself to Kedusha. That when we are in the mindset of growing, people need to make gvulim, borders, protective fences around certain areas or places or things or people to make sure that they stay in this mindset. That mindset becomes kadosh on its own. This, he says, we learn out from the mountain of the Matan Torah, that not only was the top of the mountain, but the entire mountain, you couldn't go on because the entire mountain itself became Kadosh. And when we ourselves go into the mode and modality of Kedusha, it is in this mindset that the Gvulim themselves create this Kedusha. Before we get to the last thought for today, let's just review. Number one, Rabbeinu Bachya points out that everybody in the Torah is remembered not for their intellectual or academic knowledge, but it is not for the amount of PhDs or whatever. It's for their midos tovos. Noach, Avraham, Anshei Chayil, Sonei Batsa. That's what we look for in our leaders. It is their good midos. Secondly, we learn from Yisro the relationship and the two models of father-in-law and son-in-law giving advice, and how a son-in-law can react and how they should not react. Lot versus Moshe and Yisro. Third, Baruch Hashem of Yisro, what did that mean? The Marasha, Nace of the Rabbin or the Rav Druk, we're saying Baruch Hashem for somebody else that went through a tzara. The fourth idea, V'yichan Sham Yisro, Neged Har. Anytime we're trying to grow, there's always going to be a Neged there, something that's going to try to prevent us from growing, and a har, when we're growing in Kedusha, the Gvulim are needed, and those create Kedusha. The last thought comes from post-Matan Torah. The Torah tells us several mitzvahs given right after Matan Torah. One of them is, Lo tasu iti Elohei Kesef, Elohei Zahav, Lo tasu lachem. Do not make any gods of gold and silver. Now, what does this mean? Rashi tells us, Lo ta'asun demusha mashai ha'mishamshim lefanai b'marom. You cannot make, what does it mean, don't make gods of gold and silver? Don't make images of the sun and the moon and the stars. Those are prohibited. Those that take astronomy courses or classes, you have to ask a shayla about what images you can make on a piece of paper, what molds you can make. There was it's a very important shayla. Rabbeinu Bachya here, might be in a Sidraisa, Rabbeinu Bachya here writes the following. Yesh lefarish, lo tasun iti, don't make with me. Kishe'atem omdim bitfila iti. What does it mean, lo tasun iti? When you are davening with me, conversing with me in tefillah, Lo tach shavu b'kesef v'zahav. Don't think about the gold and silver that you have. Shim ta'asu kein, if you do this, ani ma'ala aleichem, I'll make it like you made gods of gold and silver. When you're davening, don't think about the gold and silver that you own. So is that really true? When we dive in, we shouldn't think about our parnasa. We pray for parnasa. Baruch aleinu, shoshana azos. What is Rabbeinu Bachya telling us?
So Mendy's
saying when one's davening, one's mind can go awry, and you could just think about, you know, your job, your business, your wealth, and you just, by rote, go through the words of the tefillah. Okay, great answer. Great. Any other suggestion? Okay, good. You're not praying to the dalit, you're praying to what you need. Great. Another great answer. I'll suggest a third answer. Lo tasun iti, when you're davening, our davening shouldn't only be completely bakashos. Or I only daven intensely when I need something. I only daven I'll fly through the beginning, the first three brachos, focus completely on the bakashos. And then, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Take my 3 cents back, dot, 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 and I'm done. Uh-uh. It's a focus. There's an emphasis on tefillah, on bakashos. Of course, we need things. And we need to rely on Hashem for those things. But that shouldn't be the be-all and the end-all of our tefillah. Tefillah is a relationship. A relationship means Hashem is not an ATM. Right? Racheli Franco, she said this, remember, at the Kotel several summers ago. Right? It feels like it was some ways 20 years ago, other ways yesterday. Hashem is not an ATM. We can ask, we can daven for my Naftali and his two friends to come back, but who knows? So the emphasis that Rabbeinu Bachya maybe is saying is it can't be only about the gold and silver. It's about the relationship and also about all the things that we need. But it's framed in the relationship that we have with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Kirvas of the Kim Litov. That should be the main emphasis. Okay.
It's also about life. Don't call your parents only when you need something.
Great. That's good. Don't call your parents only when you need something. Right? Just say, how are you? I miss you. Right? That good. Love it. Love it. Okay. Wish everyone a great and warm Shabbos. We should be inspired by the words of the Aseret Dibros and really the entire Parsha. I wish everyone a great week and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Have a great vacation.
Take care.